The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Good morning. I'm really excited about this new series that we're going to kick off this morning. We're calling it For Kingdom and Community. And it's an opportunity for us to find ways that we would bless our local community, the way that we as followers of Jesus Christ would find ways to bless our community so it would become more like what God intended it to be. In other words, it's about releasing the kingdom of God here on earth. And so I think this is going to help us understand why we should do that, but really importantly, also show us more about how to do that. And really, the genesis of this course came from feedback I was getting from those of you who have done the training to be community chaplains in our local shopping centres. I heard responses like, I wish I'd learnt this years ago. I heard people who said to me, it's not just when I go into a shopping centre that this is going to be helpful. It's in the everyday of life. I've learnt things that are helping me now where I am right now. And so I then went and did the course as well, and I just really want to endorse it. I just think it's really practical and helps us discover ways that we can bless our community right where we are. And so I just want to use an analogy that I'm sure you've heard before, but just take a moment and think of your favourite food, whether that be pasta or pizza, steak or seafood. Or for those of you who love your coffee, think of your favourite coffee shop. Now, are you going to keep that to yourself and not tell anyone else? Because you don't want to have a queue when you go there. You want to make sure that they're not going to run out. On the other hand, wouldn't it be good if they could supply so much they could always keep up with demand? Well, what we're going to talk about over these next weeks is the opportunity to share together in ways to bless our community. And that's available because Cam Butler, who's been the creator and presenter of Urban Revs training, has made a way for all of us to have access to this training. And the heart isn't that every one of you become a chaplain as part of an organized way of doing that, whether that be in a shopping center or a sports club. Rather, let me quote from the Urban Revs workbook where it says, who is Urban Revs for? Urban Revs is for every follower of Jesus. People wanting to live intentional lives wherever they find themselves. At work, in the schoolyard, at the retirement village, at the golf club, or building friendships with neighbours. And so I'll talk more at the end of the service about how you can access this training if you'd like to do that. But for now, I want to remind you that every one of you is uniquely placed in a setting, in a situation to reveal God's love to those around about you. You are in a place, whether that's in your home, whether that's in your school, whether it's in your workplace, whether it is in your community, there is a network of people that you uniquely identify with. And you have the privilege of being able to reveal God's love, His truth, His grace, His mercy to those people. And so the aim of this series over the next a number of weeks is to look at how we might do that. Now, when I think of words like God and words like love, one of the first verses that comes to mind is probably the best known scripture, which is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Now, not only is this the best known verse, it's actually a very unique verse. Because it is the one verse in the New Testament that tells us that God loves the world. Now, what seems so interesting about that? See, the rub is that John, one of Jesus' disciples, wrote this. He recorded Jesus as saying it in a conversation with a Pharisee called Nicodemus. He wrote it down, for God so loved the world. But then John wrote subsequent letters, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. And when we get to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, he writes to us and says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. So how do we make sense of this? This idea that God so loved the world, but we're not meant to? That doesn't seem to make sense, does it? So let's look at the context of why God would love the world, but as followers of Jesus Christ, we're not meant to. Why? Because often our love for the world is a selfish love. It's a love for the things that we want to get out of it. It's a love for the ways of the world, the things of the world. We're interested in what we get, what we love within the world. In contrast, God so loves the world that he created, the people that he made. People that he made who, through sin, have rebelled against him. And yet, despite that, his love for them is a redemptive love. It's a love to restore them back into relationship. You see, God's love for the world is not selfish, but selfless. It's that sacrificial, redemptive love that is about restoring the world. And you see, this redemptive love is described really beautifully in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much, that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. What these two verses tell us is about the richness of God's mercy. God who is so rich in mercy. God who is so full of grace that he would create a way for us to be saved. You see, God's love brings life and healing to the world. It's redemptive. God's love is about restoring things back to the way he intended it to be. And actually, we are called to love the world with that type of sacrificial love. That type of, selfless love. We are called to be people who reflect God's mercy, God's grace to the world, so that we can make the love of God and the truth of God known to the world around us. See, we're not meant to love the world with that selfish love. Rather, we are called to reveal God's selfless love to the world through expressions of grace and mercy. And so we see that when Jesus was having a conversation with an expert in the law about love, then this expert in the law knew that he was meant to love God. He knew he was meant to love his neighbor. But his problem was he did not know who his neighbor was, and therefore he didn't know how he could even love his neighbor. And so let's look now at this parable of the Good Samaritan. We see that there was a man who was traveling down the road from Jerusalem to Jericho. And all we know from this scripture is that he was a man. We don't know if he was a Jew. We don't know if he was a Gentile. So we know nothing about his race. We don't know if he was rich or if he was poor. We are told nothing other than it was a man. And yet we discover that he was mugged. He was beaten. He was stripped of his clothes and he was left lying there, cast aside on the roadside, naked and half dead. And then a priest came down the road, just happened to be going down the road. And just like that song, he kept on walking, he walked on by. And the parable makes it clear that he saw the man. If someone asked him later, he could not deny the fact that he had seen this man. And having seen him, he made a conscious decision to create a wide berth around about this victim of life's circumstances. And then we see a Levite walks down the road. And the Levite does exactly the same thing. He saw the man and he makes a conscious decision to have a wide berth around about the man and he keeps on walking. I mean, most people, when there's a car accident, there's a traffic jam, right? Why? Because you're meant to slow down, but then when everyone gets to the accident scene, what happens? They go really slow so they can have a good look. Isn't that true? But not in this case. The Levite sees and turns the other way and keeps on walking. this parable makes it really clear that both the priest and the Levite saw and intentionally passed by on the other side of the road so they would not go near this victim of life's circumstances. Why do you think Jesus chose that the first two passerbys in this parable would both be religious men? Well, firstly, it's because Jesus is answering the question of a religious man. He's answering the question of an expert in the law. And this was not an expert in Roman law. This was an expert in the Jewish law, in the Old Testament. And so here, Jesus is highlighting that just because someone is religious doesn't mean they know how to love people in need. And yet, in the eyes of society, these two men, a priest and a Levite, were esteemed for their duties towards God. They were looked up to. They were respected by the community. In the language of that time, they were ceremonially righteous. In fact, their view of themselves as religious men was probably why they chose to avoid this victim. I don't think they were scared of blood. It wasn't the sight of blood. Because you see, as a priest, they were used to getting in there with a knife and being part of sacrificing bulls or sheep or doves. They were used to getting blood on their hands, blood on their clothes. That was part of the sacrificial system. They weren't scared of blood. So what was it? Was it their fear that if this man died while they were in his vicinity, because he was half dead after all, how did he go from half dead to whole dead? Anyway, they were worried that what if he died? You see, that would make them ceremonially unclean, and they wouldn't want that. Or maybe their issue was, what sort of a person allows themselves to get mugged? Was this person that poor? Was this person that careless? Should I lower myself to be around someone who's like that? See, in their eyes, it was better to maintain their status, look the other way, and walk on by. And then came this hard-hitting line in this parable. We see in verse 33, then a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Have you ever been moved by the sight of a suffering child? Whether it's a child in a nation suffering famine, child's skin and bone, often with a distended stomach, and you grieve for them. Or you see a child in a war-torn nation, and you see this child covered in filth and grime and holding on to their one precious item they still have left, which might be a little toy. Or you look into the eyes of a child who has been experiencing abuse. Have you ever been so moved that you feel it here? You feel it in your guts? And I use that term because we talk about it was gut-wrenching. Why am I talking about this? Because that's where the word compassion actually comes from. When we look at this word compassion, and it says that a despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. The Greek word here is that's a really hard word to say, isn't it? Splenchnizome. What's that mean? It is an incredibly strong emotional response that causes your innards to move. And you might think, well, I can't even say that word. I'm struggling. Do you know every one of you has a splenchnic nerve and a splenchnic circulation? Every one of you has. You see, every one of you have got nerves that go to your stomach, your liver and your intestines. That's called the splenic nerve. Every one of you have got blood vessels that go to your stomach, your liver and your intestines. That's called your splenic circulation. And when you feel really emotional, those nerves get affected and your stomach starts to move. When you get really emotional, it changes the blood flow and your stomach's... What you're actually feeling there when the splenchnic circulation and nerves are creating that effect, what you're feeling is compassion. That's what the word compassion means. If we look at the original Greek meaning, it says to be moved in the inward parts. That is, to feel compassion. And so this Samaritan man, as he was walking down the road, saw a man lying on the side of the road, naked and half dead. And he was so moved with this gut-wrenching compassion for his fellow human being that he went to him. And he started to administer first aid, even at the risk of being mugged himself. By stopping, he increased the risk for himself. And then he went to him and he applied the best ointments that he had available, his olive oil and his medicinal wine. And then he bandaged his wounds. And do you think he might have been traveling with a first aid kit? If not, where'd he get his bandages? He took his clothes and ripped them into strips that he might bandage this man's wounds. And then he put him on his own means of transport. And he took him to the local inn, and it says he continued to care for him. And then he paid for the lodging for the man and for his ongoing medical bills. And you know, it's highly likely that this man would have got better and eventually have left the inn and gone on his merry way. And when the Good Samaritan came back, probably never crossed paths again. The Good Samaritan didn't do this because he wanted the man to say thank you to him. He did it out of compassion, out of care. And so when Jesus then asked the expert in the law, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? The expert in the law answered, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Who in our community are the victims of life's circumstances? Who are the ones who are left on the roadside of life by many in our society? And I'm not just talking about financial poverty. There are many who are crying out on social media, venting their views because they don't know God's love and His acceptance for them. There are many in our schools who are angry young souls because mum and dad go around the kitchen table with domestic violence, or because dad's walked out and left mum alone at home wallowing in her pain. There are those who are grieving their loss of innocence. There are those who face discrimination because of their race or their gender or their faith. And there are many people who look fine on the outside, and yet inside they're burning with pain or grief. And many of us probably know someone like this. And how do we respond? Do we have compassion? But one of the things from this parable was that the Samaritan man did not go out on the road from Jerusalem to Jericho looking for a mugged man to minister to. He did not have a not-for-profit called the Ministry to Mugged Men. And there is nothing wrong with not-for-profits that minister to niche groups. My point is that we see in this passage, it says, as he traveled. In other words, in the everyday of life, we don't know why he was going from Jerusalem to Jericho, whether it was a business trip, whether it was a holiday, whether it was a family trip, or he was going to see family. We know none of that. All we know is that as he traveled, he came upon a person who was in need. He came upon a circumstance that was unfolding before him, and he was moved with compassion. And in the everyday activity of his life, he saw someone in need, and it says he took care of him. You see, this parable is not about looking for a niche ministry opportunity. It is about in the everyday of life, as you travel down life's road each day. In the everyday of life, you may come upon people in need of God's grace and mercy. And it might be someone right in your home. It might be the person who sits next to you or works next to you in your workplace who is struggling with their child. It might be your neighbor over the back fence who is struggling with an addiction or an identity issue. The question is, how will you respond? Now again, let's reflect at a different angle within this parable. How do you feel about the actions of the priest and the Levite who intentionally made a wide berth around this person in need? Does the word hypocrite come to mind? I mean, these were people who knew the Old Testament law. They were meant to obey. They were meant to be models of examples of those who obeyed the Old Testament law, which included caring for the widow, the orphan, the foreigner, for the hungry, the sick, those in need. They knew that, but they didn't do that. And when we think of it like that, we go, well, they're hypocrites, aren't they? But before we put the knife into them and twist, let's take a moment and look at our own nation. I want to quote from the Faith and Belief in Australia report published by McCrindle Research in 2017, the section called Perceptions of Christians and Christianity. And it says, perceptions of Christians and Christianity are negatively influenced by the actions and behaviours of Christians in society. 2/3 or 65% of the Australian population say they are negatively influenced by the hypocrisy of Christians. Does that make you go, ouch? Does that hurt that most people in our society look at Christians and say, hypocrites? And we respond and go, surely not us. No, no, we're not hypocrites. And yet the data shows that that is the view of many in our community. It's the view that many feel when Christians try to force their faith or faith values upon them. This same report, though, gives us great hope. Because this same report says people living out authentic faith is the greatest attraction to further investigating religion. There's encouragement for us. So what does that look like? How do we live out authentic faith that reveals God's love and truth, that reveals his grace and mercy to our community? I think this comes back to our understanding of the kingdom of God. Because you see, the kingdom of God on earth is about restoring things back to the way that God intended it to be. And we need to be doing that in the way that is described in Mark chapter 1 verse 15, where Jesus says, because he is there, the kingdom of God comes near. What does that look like for us? It means that for those of us who have faith in Jesus Christ as his people, that where we go, we are meant to bring the kingdom of God near because we are there. If we are present with someone, they should have the opportunity to experience the kingdom of God. And so I'm going to take a moment and just talk about a model that I've talked about previously. This idea that we are God's people. If you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you are God's people. And as God's people, you are in the place where God has you right now. In your home or street, your town, your workplace, your community group, sports club, service club, wherever you are, you have the opportunity to bring the kingdom of God near in that place. And like the Good Samaritan, as you travel down the road in the everyday of life in that place, you have the opportunity to bring the kingdom of God near to those in that place. And so ask yourself, what circumstances unfolding before me today where I can bring the kingdom of God near because I am here in this place? What's it look like as the people of God who are called to grow in godliness? The way we grow in godliness is by living according to God's ways. And the way we discover God's ways is through reading and studying and coming to understand and apply the Word of God. It is through living according to the way of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who speaks, who leads, who guides us in the everyday of life. Because when we live according to the Word of God and the ways of the Spirit, then we are going to live increasingly authentic lives as the people of God where God has placed us. And God calls us to be a blessing. As His children, we are blessed. But we are blessed to be a blessing. We are called in the place where we are, living authentic lives according to the ways of God, to bring blessing to our community. That is what we are called to do, to release God's presence in that place. You see, you can bring hope and healing into the lives of people in our community. And when you bring hope and healing into their lives, you are causing their lives to get better. And as more people experience that, that helps our community become more like what God intended it to be. That's where the kingdom of God is being released. You see, in our community, Australians don't want religion pushed upon them. They do not respond well to the hypocrisy of the religious, but they are very open to the kingdom of God. And when they see people who stop and genuinely care for them as people, their lives get better. And they discover that God loves them because His people love them. And that's what the purpose of this series is about. For kingdom and community, it's about helping our community experience God through His people, that's you, right where you are, living according to His ways, blessing our community in the everyday of life. And so as we wrap up, as we do every Sunday, we stop and we just take a minute now before we rush out into the busyness of life. Take a minute to stop and just ask two questions. What did God say to me today? And a second question, what will I do with what I've heard? Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, we thank You for the incredible love You have for us, and that You so loved the world with that selfless, sacrificial love that was about redeeming the world to be restoring it, people back into relationship with You, restoring creation back towards what You intended it to be. Thank You, Lord, that You have called us to contribute into that kingdom perspective. That, Lord, we would be Your people, wherever You've placed each one, to live according to Your ways. And that, Lord, we have the joy of not only receiving Your blessings, we have the joy of being a blessing, to take Your blessing into the community, into that unique place that each one here is able to carry Your kingdom near. We pray, God, Your favour, Your blessing over each one. We pray, Lord, for these coming weeks as we learn together what Your word says and how to apply it, that, Lord, we would see Your kingdom come in the community where You've placed us for Your glory and honour. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I said earlier that I wanted to talk about a way that you could hear more about this and be part of a journey together as a church to help people discover the ways to care for those in their family, for those over your back fence, the one who sits beside you at work, The one who opens up to you when you're playing a game of golf. See, this series is about helping us to learn how to release the kingdom of God right where you are and to bring God's love and grace and mercy into our community. So every week I'm going to bring a message where I'm going to unpack the biblical foundations that underpin this. Then for those who are interested in accessing the Urban Revs training modules, there's a number of ways you can do that. One way, and we really encourage this, is to do this within life groups. If you're part of a life group, then we would encourage life groups to be able to watch these online sessions together, to chat about them, and to maybe even get the chance to practice some of what you're learning. And so that's a really wonderful way to do this together in community. The advantage of it being an online material is that if you happen to miss one week from life group, then you can go online and watch it yourself and catch up. Or if you go, that was really good, I want to watch it again, you can go back and do that again. Now, I'm aware that there are some people who don't have access to IT resources or aren't comfortable or familiar with doing that. And so we wanted to make a way available for you. And so at 9:30 every Wednesday morning in the multi-purpose rooms, we're going to have it set up there that you can come and you can watch together and share together in what you're seeing. If you're interested in that, please let me know or respond to the office just so you have a clue of how many people are going to turn up. And then for some of you who are not part of a life group but you want to join one, please have a chat to Kylie in the foyer. David's also going to be in the foyer. So have a chat with them. They'd love to help you become part of a life group, even if it's just for this term. Or if you're interested in starting a life group specifically for one term, then again, please chat to Kylie and David. But if you're not part of a life group for whatever reason, but you still really want to learn, you still really want to access these resources, again, please have a chat to me. Contact the office and we can create a way for you to be able to go online and do this training. Now, as I said, the intent isn't that all of you become endorsed chaplains in the shopping centres or sports clubs. If you do want to do that, please have a chat with me because that can be made possible through some further training. But our heart is to help every one of you find and discover a few ways that right where you are, right now as you're travelling through life, that you can care more effectively, more compassionately, more wholly, that is W-H-O-L-L-Y, could be H-O-L-Y too, ways to care for those around about you. And so, as I say, I'm really looking forward to travelling together to bring God's kingdom to our community. So with that, let me just close with a benediction. Before I do that, I remind you that there's the opportunity for prayer here at the front. If you'd love to have someone pray with you, please come. And people would love to pray with you and for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, I thank you for the opportunity you've given us to not only be recipients of your blessings, but to learn more about being people who give blessings in really simple and significant ways into our community. And so, Lord, even now as we go out, and as each one now goes out to travel the road that is before them, I pray, Lord, you would bless each one. Lord, may your Holy Spirit lead and guide. Bless each one to be the person you've called them to be. I pray, Lord, that they would know the love that you have for them, that they would be so aware of the forgiveness that is available through Jesus Christ. They'd be so aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit dwelling within them. Lord, I bless each one now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 0746361144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.